Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That song is called Nexus from the Innocent Age album. The late, great Dan Fokkerberg, that's his double album from the Wayback Machine, but it's still one of the best albums you'll ever have. I encourage you to find it, own it. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Tiana Lawrence is here. Tiana has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last few years. We've really come to know and love her and her work. Author of Blockchain for Dummies. She's taught us so much about blockchain. I continue to encourage you folks to learn as much as you can about it, because it will be part of your life more than you know. It already is part of your life, but it will become part of your life. Some variation of blockchain, I'm convinced, Tiana, as you know, some form of blockchain will be the savior of digital ethics, in my opinion. What do you think, Tiana?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll start to see those technologies coming about. The U.S. Postal Service recently put out a patent this year and then made it public in the last few days around voter identification and digital voting that could be revolutionary and
will that be part of this cycle? Will their blockchain technology be part of this cycle?
I don't know that it will be, because they don't have a lot of time to make that happen.
And more's the pity.
And I was just getting exactly. I was studying their patent this week and trying to understand how it works, but basically, they would send a voter a computer-readable number that they would plug in, and then the voter would go identify themselves and their ballot.
Online. They do this online.
Online.
Yeah.
And then they use that to vote. And what the system does is they separate the user's identity from their vote. So it lets them vote securely while not breaking their privacy. So it lets them.
So nobody knows how they voted, but how do they make sure that person voted and not a neighbor of a person who's died?
That's a really good point. I have not deducted from their system yet how they plan on separating the user's identity and validating their identity in the system and being able to do that securely through a computer. I know that, for example, some European countries have issued basically like a flash drive that has a private key associated with it, and they use basically like that modern encryption system, sort of like a password to your bank, that even if your neighbor stole your computer and some of your banking information, they still wouldn't be able to log on.
Well, you know, even if it was just a simple one factor with the right information, like your Social Security number, I mean, the fraudulent votes, the people who do that don't necessarily know your Social Security number, right? They just know that your name and that you have an address or whatever. I mean, your neighbor wouldn't necessarily, if your neighbor wanted to vote for you and you died there 6 months ago and it came in the mailbox and they wanted to harvest your vote and turn it in, through the post office, they wouldn't necessarily know your Social Security number. So even one simple factor system would be better than just a blind mail-in vote, right?
Yeah, I think so. And this system looks like it would add a couple extra layers of security that we just don't have.
Yeah.
With the additional convenience of and safety of online.
But look for certain people to push back on that, because they'll say it's too complicated. Some people will push back on that. So you've got another development in blockchain that you were telling me about.
I think the other one that most people in the U.S. are going to find interesting, Overstock, which is a publicly traded company, kind of like Amazon. They're about
as
old.
Guys.
They just issued a dividend using a security token, which I thought that was pretty cool. That just hasn't happened before. And then Honeywell, which is a big like government contractor, is now tracking Boeing parts, over $1 billion of Boeing parts using blockchain, which I think is pretty cool.
Now, come back to that dividend token. Come back to that dividend mm-hmm. token. How do you redeem that? How do you use that? What is it a store of?
I think I'm not quite sure. I think it's a dividend, so it's going to be a payment. And Overstock is starting to do well with some of the investments that they did in blockchain. They invested, for example, in my company, Factum, and a bunch of other ones that have started to do well. And so now they're paying their investors.
The founder of that company has been on the show before.
Patrick Byrne?
Patrick Byrne's been on here a couple of times, two or three times, actually, over the years.
He's an interesting character. Yes, he is. He's a very colorful person. Yes, he is.
So, folks, these are examples of blockchain that are happening kind of under the radar with all the pandemic stuff going on, isn't it? I mean, blockchain's kind of gone dark in terms of the news, but it's good to hear you report that it's not in the reality, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Folks, this is the missing link, in my opinion, to get us from analog to digital, ethically speaking. I think blockchain or a variation of it is the missing link that we have to have. And I'm glad Tien Lawrence is one of the leaders and one of the thought leaders in that world. Tien Tail, right back after the break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.